Well, DC, you failed epically at finding a church where no one knows you. Thank you for sharing that. You know, I hope you know, no one has the perfect story, right? I love hearing that, because here's the thing. Do you know that when you look into someone else's face, that there's an incredible lifelong story there of God being faithful and us maybe losing our way, but God never, like Judy said, God never leaving us, you know. It's God that just pursues us. And I think a lot of times, you know, I can't imagine, you know, sometimes I hear some of that, DC, and you looking back on your life and going, man, was God ever there, you know, just there, falling off a roof, and all you had was a pipe in you, so no big deal there, no broken bones. I think Gabby was about to pass out back there when you said that. But, you know, looking back over your life and knowing that God is at work there, that God is pursuing us and being discovered in our lives. And I think what makes a life valuable is that we discover God in it. And that's a powerful thing. Thank you for sharing that. Our stories, nothing is more valuable than our stories. I hope as you hear something like that, maybe you'll look at someone at your table this morning or in your row of chairs and you'll go, I wonder what their story is. Because God's probably done some incredible things in their life too. And I hope that'll have kind of spur us to have these conversations about what our story is. This morning, I really do want to talk a little bit about whether or not we're really paying attention. I really do believe sometimes, you know, I think about all the times that I've been looking for my glasses and they're on my head, or all the times that I'm searching for my phone and it's in my pocket. I think about, for instance, you know, me and Katie have known each other for a while. We've been married 8 years. We dated for about 6 years. She's the love of my life. You know, she's had my child. And, you know, I think about that. And you guys hear this? So I think about that. And this is on purpose. There are no birds loose in here. I think about that. And our, you know, me and Katie knew each other for a year before we met. I remember meeting Katie. I was on a school bus, and she came in and sat down next to that, not a school bus, but a traveling bus, a tour bus. And she came down, and my first memory of Katie is her sitting down next to me on a bus and looking over and going, I'm going to have to sit here because there's nowhere else to sit. And I'm the person in our relationship that remembers everything. I remember every date. I remember every first. I remember all the special stuff. And sometimes I get irritated with her because I'll say, do you remember? And she'll say, no, I don't remember. I'm sorry, but you know, I don't remember stuff like that. But I don't remember anything about her for that first year until we met on that bus. And it blows my mind to think that the love of my life, who I would marry, be married to for 8 years, who would have my child, that she would have been in the room with me. We were on a choir together. We stood 6 feet from each other and sang hours and hours and hours, and I don't remember any of that. I know there are even pictures where we're literally 4 feet apart. I don't remember anything of her. And it blows my mind that someone that I would later just be so passionate to discover that they could be right there and me just not even notice. Whether it's a telephone or a set of glasses or a person, I think it's important for us to stop every now and then and go, maybe on our journey to discovering something, our lack of discovery has absolutely nothing to do with that which we seek and has everything to do with where we're looking and what we're paying attention to and what we're passionate about. So I want to talk about that a little bit this morning. I want you to close your eyes with me together this morning. Everybody close your eyes. Close your eyes. And listen to this. Keep your eyes closed. Don't open them till I tell you. The heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims his handiwork. Day by day pours forth speech, and night to night declares knowledge. There's no speech, there are no words. Their voice is not heard, and yet their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In the heavens he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom for him, his wedding canopy, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens and its circuit to the end of them, and nothing is hid from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is clear, enlightening the eyes. And the fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. They're more to be desired than gold, even much fine gold, and sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them there is great reward. But who can detect their errors? Clear me from hidden faults. Keep back your servant also from the insolent. Do not let them have dominion over me. Then I will be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Psalm 19. The Lord is to be praised for many things. But this psalm is literally just this overwhelming need to declare praise to God because of something particular, and that is that our God is discoverable. The psalm starts and says, all creation from the heavens to the firmament, which is the earth, the ground, there's no speech. There are no words. But listen to this. There are no words and no speech. You can open your eyes. And yet, all of creation pours forth declaration of God's glory. I went online and I looked up these nature sounds. There were 100 million views of nature sounds. There were 50 million views of nightly nature sounds. I literally went down these videos and I listen to artists a lot on YouTube, and I'll look, and there'll be 30,000 or 100,000 or, you know, 200,000 or 1 million, 2 or 3 million, 100 million views of nature sounds. And I began to go down the list and read, and people would put things like, I have an anxiety disorder, and I turn this on, and it calms me. I have insomnia, but I'll listen to this, and I'm able to have peace and sleep. Things like when I need to get things done or clear my mind or when I'm feeling depressed, I turn this on. There is some desire, some drive to listen to this. And what this psalmist says is the psalm says God has created everything, and so everything bears the fingerprint of its creator, the mark of God. And so all creation, if we're paying attention, all creation declares, pours forth declarations, proclamations of God's glory. God is to be discovered in all creation. From the skies, the heavens, to the dirt, the firmament, the earth, the birds, the trees. This psalmist is just pouring out praise saying, here's what's incredible about our God, is our God has literally left opportunities for discovery in everything that our God has created. When me and Katie, when we first got to know each other, we didn't have phones, so we wrote letters to each other. And I've got at home a box of letters, just dozens and probably hundreds of, not hundreds, but over 100 letters. We would write each other every other day, and we have letters to each other. And I remember when I was about 16 or 17, my mom would hand me the mail, and I would see my name on the front, and I would know it was from her before I even read up in the top corner. You know how I would know? Because I knew her handwriting, right? I knew what her mark looked like. I looked for it. And I remember opening up her letters, and I would open them up, and as kind of just this overcome, passionate, you know, in this romance, dating and getting to know each other, I would look at it and I would think how graceful and how wonderful her handwriting was. And I would think about how much her handwriting told me about how she was kind and all these things. And some of that was imagined, but there's actually an entire school of study and research called graphology, which is where people will look at the handwriting of those who have passed in historical figures, and they can tell you about their character and their personality and their mindset based on their mark. And I got to where I could just know so much. I would just look at that mark and recognize it and go, that's Katie. Even now, sometimes I'll go back through boxes of, I'm a hoarder, and I'll keep this junk, and I'll pull out a paper, and I'll go, I know that's that, and I'll start to read it because I know it's Katie's handwriting. And this psalm is saying, if we look, if we pay attention, God is to be discovered. His mark is on everything around us in all of creation, in the face in the mirror, in the blades of grass, in the changing of the seasons, in the trees, and in the birds, and in every living thing. God desires to be discovered, and his mark is on display. And if we'll just pay attention, and if we'll just shape our life around discovering this God and watching out, then soon enough we'll know that mark when we see it, and we'll pay attention because we know something wonderful is to be found there when we see that mark. But here's the thing, I can read, believe it or not. I'm proud of that. And so I didn't just look at that letter by Katie and go, that's a beautiful mark. Look at that, and open it up and look, yeah, that handwriting is nice, and then toss that letter. But I would move from the mark to the message, right? I mean, her handwriting told me a little bit about her, and the shaping of the curves and then, you know, the letters and the way she did things would tell me a little bit about her. But I mean, I would feast on the words of her letters. I would go from the mark to the message, and so much more was to be discovered about her by the message of her letters. And I remember poring over those letters, and she'd send me one on Monday, and I wouldn't get another one till Thursday, and I would just read that letter on Monday about 10 times a day until Thursday, and I would get another one, and I would just pore over those letters and study them and learn as much as I could about them, and I kept them. And even now, I'll pull them out sometimes, and I'll just think about how much she's changed, and I love going back and reading everything that we were discovering about each other, from things as simple as our favorite colors and our favorite foods, all the way to what stressed us out and what we were struggling with in life. And we would begin to share deeper and deeper knowledge about each other in our letters. And the message of those, as just a hopeless romantic, someone head over heels in love, I just couldn't get enough of studying that love transcription to me of unveiling who she was so that I could discover her in kind of this romance that was happening. And the psalmist says, we've got to move from mark to message. This God didn't just passively leave his mark on creation and say, good luck, go look for the mark, pay attention, it's there if you can find it and get used to seeing it and learn how to notice. But this God moved from mark to message. And if you can read this morning, our God has written us a love letter, a passionate pursuit transcription that unveils and unfolds and unpacks his character and his knowledge of us and his love for us and who he is. And whether it's the primeval story of creation in Genesis, or it's the regulations and commands of Deuteronomy, whether it's the proclamations of the prophets or the good news of John, you can crack open what we call the Bible. This love letter from God, this mark to message, where God literally says, open it up and discover me. I wonder when was the last time that, like the psalmist, we said, this love letter, this transcription of discovery is more valuable to me than any heap of gold in the world. It's more fine than the most sweet tasting honey or dessert that I can put in my mouth. I wonder when it was the last time we got so passionate about discovering God that not only did we notice the marks all around us of our Creator's hand and fingerprint, but we cracked open this book not out of a discipline, not just because there are regulations to be found, not because we feel guilty, not because that's what good Christians do, but I wonder if we got so passionate about discovering who God was that we cracked open this love transcription of discovery and we figured out who it was that made us and pursues us and loves us, and we passionately pored over it like a lover. The psalmist says, my God has left his mark for me, but even more wonderfully, has left a message as well. It's not real difficult to figure out what's important to somebody. They'll talk about it. And they think about it. And they talk about it because they think about it. I wonder what you spend most of your time thinking about. I can tell you what you spend most of your time talking about if I spend a lot of time around you. even if you don't talk as much as somebody else, when you do talk, you're going to talk about what you think matters. And you're going to talk about what you've been thinking about. What do you spend most of your time thinking about? Pondering. Rolling over in your brain. If you don't spend time pondering or thinking about anything, that's not abnormal. It just means that you're so busy that there's not a whole lot of depth to your life. There are lots of people that just get so busy that they forget what they're even living for. But this psalmist says this at the end of the scripture: let the words of my mouth and the pondering of my heart. Think about that. You know, you can gather, and we'll gather next Sunday night, and we'll all be pondering and thinking about a game, a football game. Some of us ponder and think a lot about, if you're me, you ponder and think a lot about lyrics to songs. I love to discover new artists, and I ponder lyrics to songs, and my poor wife has to put up with that constantly. And she says, don't you care if the music sounds horrible, even if there's good words to it? What matters to you? Maybe if you're a parent, all you talk about is your children. If you're a grandparent, like Alan, he says, people see him pulling out his wallet or his phone and they run because they know what he's going to do. He's going to pull out pictures and he won't stop. He'll just keep showing you pictures of his grandson. Why? Because he's pondering about someone he loves and he's speaking about them. And this psalmist really ends with he's asking God for one more thing. Can you believe that? That this psalm is asking, already this God has made sure that when God made everything, even a blade of grass, even the wind that we just sang about in All Creatures of Our God and King, even the sun in the sky as it rises every morning declares without any words or speech that God is present and real and alive and glorious and there for you just like the sun is. Not only is there a mark, not only, you know, can we discover God in everything around us, but God has moved from mark to message and said, listen, I've left you a transcription of love that if you want to discover who I am, I want you to know me. Pop this thing open and discover who it is that has loved you enough and cares about you enough that before you were in your mother's womb, I knew every curve and every hair and every minute that you would ever live. And I made you by hand. If you want to know who I am, if you want to know who the person is that loves you that much, read my message, not out of duty or Christian responsibility, but because if you are a lover head over heels and passionate to discover me, I have written you my story. As if that weren't enough, the psalmist ends with one more request and says, God, get into my heart now. Because I've seen you with my eyes and discovered you with my hands and I've perceived you with my mind as I've unpacked the knowledge of who you are as a passionate lover head over heels. But God, I need you now to worm your way into my core. God, would you get inside me and make my thoughts and my words proof of my discovery? What are we paying attention to? I find myself, I'm going to get really frank and honest, especially now as a dad, I wonder what I did with all my free time before and how I functioned on so much more sleep. And sometimes I'll get on my knees and I'll pray and I'll say, God, I haven't felt you, or I feel like, you know, God, you're not as close to me, and I'm so busy, you know. And by the way, I'm not busy with bad stuff. If you followed me around for a day, you might pat me on the back and you might say, you know, Joshua, it's okay, you're really busy, but you're busy with such good stuff. You care about people and you love people and you take care of people and you're discovering God in others, and that's, you know, that's good, and you're staying busy with important things. And I think the same could probably be said of all of you if I followed you around for a day. I'd probably pat you on the shoulder and I'd say, I know you're really busy. I know you don't stop for more than 5 seconds a day, but you're doing good stuff. You're working hard, providing for your family, you know, feeding your kids meals and trying to relate to friends and doing all this good stuff. You're not about bad things, but I'm still missing it some days. And I wonder if my God is just doing jumping jacks in front of me and I'm looking right through it. Psalmist says, I don't want to miss it. The God the God whose beauty can be heard in the song of the bird. The God whose fingerprint, the God whose glory is declared in the sunrise tomorrow. The God who has written his story because he desires to be discovered, because that's what love is. Psalmist says so much to be found about this Creator. Help me to take the time. Help my attention to be such that the words of my mouth and the ponderings of my heart are upon these things. My rock. Going back to creation now. But I think what the psalmist is trying to say is there are a lot of things that'll get tired of your attention. And there are a lot of things that eventually will cease to pursue you. A lot of things will come and go. Even the greatest loves of your life will not be forever. They can't be held on to. But this God is a rock in his pursuit of discovery. Are we paying attention? I want to ask you to close your eyes this morning with me. Bow your head if you want to do that. I think that just makes us feel like we're being a little more intentional about the sacredness of a moment. I'm going to ask the band to come on up. Keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed. And Joe, if you can turn those sounds up a little bit. I mean, when's the last time, even if you could hear these sounds, you stopped to listen to them? I want us to take a few moments this morning. Just a few. I know we're over time. And I want us to pay attention. And then the band's going to begin to play. And this is what I want you to do when the band begins to play. I want you to commit to something. There's paper in the buckets all around you with pens. And then you have your phone. So, you know, I think the average person checks their phone over 100 times a day. I want you to put a discipline for this week. Maybe you go, if I put more than once, there's no way I'll do it, so I'm just going to put once. How and when and where will you make time to pay attention? I have a backyard. I already know what I'm going to do. 3 times this week, I just want to go outside, and I want to sit next to my fire pit that's a mud hole right now, and I want to close my eyes, and I just want to listen for 10 minutes. When's the last time you tried to sit in silence for 10 minutes? You'll go nuts. We're not used to paying attention. So I want us just to spend a few moments just paying attention, and then I want us to think through this week how we'll take a few moments to discover God. Because if not, we might forget what this whole life is about anyways.